by Pastor Kevin Roberts is brought to you by the Bethany EC Church in Tamaqua, Pennsylvania.
Take a look around. Look at those who are sitting here in the seats. What do you see? Most of us would look around and we see individuals who seem to have their life all together. Everybody seems like, you know, everything's going well and problem-free. That's looking at the surface. If we were able to lift up the veil just a little bit and see truly inside of individuals' lives, we would find that there are people who are hurting and in need of comfort. We would find people whose lives are troubled in some way and in need of peace. We would find people who are struggling with issues and illnesses and circumstances in need of healing. A man named Marshall Hayden wrote a book entitled, Would Every Non-Herder Please Stand Up? And he pointed out that we come to church and we wear our smiles. And we say to each other, oh, good morning, how are you? I'm just fine. And we smile and we, you know. And most of us would say, you know, if I really told somebody how I felt, they'd walk away. They don't want to hear it anyway. And that may be true sometimes. But you know, we can't really assume that everything's okay. He suggests that we look beyond the facade and realize that there are hurting individuals seated in every pew. In a group this size, it would be fair to estimate that there are individuals here who struggle financially, that their income is less than their monthly expenses. There are families that struggle with children who are rebelling against the teaching and the training that they have been given. There are people who have experienced loss, a loss in some tragedy, loss of a loved one. There are individuals here that I'm sure are struggling with issues of illness. There are individuals, and especially young people, struggling perhaps to be able to fit in, to find their place among their peers. There are couples who are struggling in their relationship. Maybe some of them even duked out a good fight before they got here today. There are those with lesser issues. And you look around. There are those that struggle with lesser issues. Maybe they go to work every day, day after day after day, to a job that they absolutely hate. Perhaps, although that person tries and does their very, very best, they struggle with poor grades. Maybe there are those that struggle with loneliness and discouragement. And now that we're all depressed, let me tell you that there is hope. And today I want to share hope. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, does that mean that if I place my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that suddenly I'm not going to have any problems? I'm not going to have any sickness? I'm not going to have any difficulties anymore? The answer to that is no. That is not true. Jesus warned us that we will have trouble in this world. But today I want to remind you that the Bible tells us that he has the power to heal, and he provides his promises of strength and presence in whatever that difficulty is that you face in this moment. We believe at Bethany that it is the Lord Jesus Christ that transforms lives. In some cases, he may resolve issues immediately, even miraculously. And in others, he grants the power to endure and to triumph, even though the circumstance does not change. Today, I want to look at a man whose life was filled with sickness, frustration, loneliness, rejection, and hopelessness. And Jesus radically transformed his life. Turn with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. John says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was the Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who was the fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Now, as we join up with Jesus this week, we find that he left Cana and he went back to Jerusalem to celebrate a religious feast. Interestingly enough, John reveals to us that Jesus entered through the sheep gate. Remember earlier, back in John 1, he was identified as the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. And now John weaves in this passage that Jesus enters through the gate where the temple sacrifices were brought in, as the Lamb of God. Once he was inside, he went to the pool of Bethesda. The pool of Bethesda was a place, perhaps we consider it a healing shrine, a place where people gathered in need of healing. It says the lame, the weak, the blind gathered there. Because according to legend, legend would say that as an angel would stir the waters, if they could get in the water when the water moved, they would be healed. Now again, it sounds very superstitious, and I'm certainly it is in a lot of ways. But that was the belief, and that is why the individuals gathered there. There were people lying all around, those who were sick and paralyzed. Well, the healing of this lame man is a dramatic example of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was able to command an individual who had not been able to walk and who had been there for 38 years to pick up his mat And the man did so and walked away like that. Now, when I read that, I think it has to be a miracle, of course, because a few weeks ago when we traveled home from Kansas and I got out of a car after being in it mostly for 20 hours, I kind of got out like this. Everything was stiff. Now imagine somebody who was unable to walk for 38 years and to be able to stand up and walk away. My friends, that is miraculous power that Jesus demonstrates. As stated earlier, many people, such as that man, are present here today. People in need of comfort, people in need of peace, people in need of healing. But like this man in our text, for many of us, it has really become a way of life. It has really become a way of life. The challenges, the struggles, the problems that we face, we just accept them after a while as part of life. But today, I want to share that I believe that many of our issues and problems, we need to learn to take them and give them to the Lord. Now, he may, if he chooses, heal that situation just like that. He may. Certainly has the power to do so. Or he may give you the grace and the strength that you need to endure whatever it is you're going through. And in all cases, he is glorified. Now today, if you follow along in your outline, I want to share with you what I've called 5 steps toward healing. And we're going to look at them based on this passage. Step number 1, identify and admit the problem. Here, Jesus encouraged the man to identify what it is that he wanted. In verse 6, he says, when he saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he said, "Do you want to get well?" When Jesus saw him there, he realized that he was there a long time. And he asked, "Sir, do you want to get well?" Now, one of us, we might immediately say, "Well, that was a kind of a silly question. Don't you think he would want to get well?" But in all honesty, perhaps after 38 years, he had come to a place of acceptance. It is the way it is. Nothing can change. It's all the way it is. There's also a cultural issue. This man had learned to subside on handouts from other individuals. If indeed he was healed, his life would be radically changed. Instead of being able to have everything provided by everyone else, he may have to get a job. He may have to learn to take care of himself. Healing would mean that he would be entering into an entirely and completely new life. After 38 years, one would think he accepted the way things were. He was satisfied to scratch his existence in begging. He was surrounded by people who were the same as he was. But he was probably there longer than most. I'm sure he would have been discouraged and probably possessed zero optimism. But the first step in changing our circumstance, the first step is to identify and admit, you know, the problem does exist. You know, and it could be a multiple of things. You know, there are individuals that, again, struggle with physical health issues. There are individuals that struggle with emotional issues. There are people that struggle with relational and social issues. And after a while, they begin to settle and say, it's never going to change. It's never going to get any better. It's the way it is. I've just been dealt a rotten hand of cards. I can't change anything. It's just the way it is. And although this man probably came to believe that after lying there for 38 years, Jesus said, do you want your circumstance to change? Are you willing to have that circumstance change? Maybe whatever struggle you're having, you've come to the place to settle and say that's just the way it is. But perhaps you need to take the first step and say, you know, there is a problem. Step two, stop making excuses. Here in verse 7, see if you can identify the excuses that this man made. Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes ahead of me. What were his problems? What were his excuses? Nobody helps me. Somebody always gets ahead of me. Clearly, he has given up. He has settled for the way things are. I could hear him saying, I can't. It's just the way I am. It's not fair, but nobody cares. Perhaps he allowed his situation to become his identity. He was a man who was there for 38 years. As I thought about that, I remembered back to my Burger King days. And in all of the different establishments, we knew our regular customers. Not by their name. I'd have no idea what their names were. We knew them by what they ate. Cashier would see somebody coming and they say, oh, here comes Mr. Whopper, no pickle, no onion, right? Or here comes two cheeseburgers, ketchup and mayonnaise only. I mean, you knew who they were. You knew them by what they ate. Is it possible that this man's identity had become Mr. Lame for 38 years? Is it possible that he became so content with the way things are that it actually became his identity? It happens to individuals. We experience an illness and we'll say, that identifies who I am. Or we'll experience a loss and that becomes the identity of who we are. And really, it's a circumstance, it's a situation. It should not be our identity. The question is, do we want change? Do we want to allow the Lord to bring that healing into our lives? Or are we content to settle? Maybe you've stopped caring. Maybe you've stopped praying. Maybe you've even stopped hoping. Maybe you've make excuses, just like he did, saying, that's just how it is. I can't help it. Doctors Minrith and Meyer wrote a book entitled Happiness is a Choice. And in there, they say that the doctors say that they become frustrated when individuals will say, I can't, or I tried. What they're encouraged to say is, I won't, or I won't try. Because in seeking health and wholeness, we can't stop and give up. We really need to do the next step. And the next step is number three, which says, choose to take action. Choose to take action. Jesus said, hey, Mr. 38 years lame man, Do you want to be healed? If you do, get up. Verse 8, he says, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Take action. Stop settling. Stop convincing yourself that's just the way it is. Ask the Lord to bring healing, his supernatural healing, to your physical problem, or your emotional problem, or your relational, social problem, whatever it may be. It's interesting sometimes. When somebody has a dreaded disease, like cancer, it doesn't take long till that person will ask God for healing. It doesn't take long till that person will ask for prayer. And yet individuals will struggle with dreaded situations, lesser illnesses, emotional pain, dependency issues, and they struggle in silence, and they won't ask for help. They won't ask God for help. Jesus said, get up and take up your mat. Now that man had a choice. He could either listen and ignore, or he could listen and have hope. Don't we all have that choice? Whatever that problem is, whatever that situation is, don't we all have that choice? Perhaps we need to not make excuses and say that's just the way it is, but rather choose to take action. Choose to seek healing. Choose to be released from that burden and that struggle. Step 4, trust in Jesus' power to help. Trust in Jesus' power to help. You know, sometimes I think in this day and age we can become so phobic of the idea of healing that we're afraid to ask for it. Anybody agree with that? We're afraid to ask. We're afraid, and yet, you know, the truth is that the same Jesus that was able to command this man to stand up and walk is the same Jesus that we trust as our Savior. Now, I think it odd that we can trust him for our eternal destiny. We can entrust our eternity into his hands. But for many, it's a stretch of faith to trust him to heal that desperate situation. Will he automatically change our problem? Will he automatically heal that need? Well, he may. Last week we talked about that. I gave two personal testimonies, one about my son and one about my first wife. Outcomes were totally different. You could probably give the same testimonies. Sometimes God chooses to miraculously heal and change a situation, and sometimes he does not. Does God make mistakes? Never. Never made one. And so we need to learn to trust in his will. We're told to pray and we're to ask, and we ask anything in his name, he will give it, as we ask in accordance to his will. In 1 John 5, 4, verses 14 and 15, it says, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. You see, we shouldn't be telling God, hey, this is what you need to do. We need to be asking God for his will to be done. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't ask God to heal that broken situation. We shouldn't ask God to heal that illness. Certainly we should, because he has the power to miraculously do that. But if he chooses not to, that's not an excuse to stop trusting. That's not an excuse to wash our hands of God and say, well, that's it, that didn't work. God is God, and he is always right in whatever he does. And we need to seek his will. But we can trust him. And as we trust in him, our situation changes. Now, he may not take away the circumstance, but the way in which we deal with the circumstance can change dramatically because of his presence in our lives. Step 5, praise God for his presence and power. In verse 15, it says, the man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. I would like to say that he offered praise. God changes situations. We are to praise him. We should give him the glory for what he does. Whatever he does, whether he chooses to change or whether he chooses not to, we know that he is ever present. In Psalm 46:1, it says, God is an ever-present help in times of trouble. He is always there to provide his strength. He has the power to give us strength. He has the power to help us through whatever situation it is. We ought not to give up. Closing questions. Question 1, is there an illness or issue from which you need to be healed? Perhaps a physical need, maybe an emotional struggle. Maybe there is a relational issue that needs healing. Some kind of maybe you're struggling with some kind of a dependency. Is there something in your life that you are seeking God to heal you from? He has the power to heal that need. And he has the strength to provide in that situation. Are you willing to follow the step to admit that settling is a problem? To not make excuses, to not just say that's the way it is? Are you willing to choose to take action and to trust his power? To trust his power to change that situation. Are you willing to do that? The second question says, are you willing to follow these steps? Are you really willing? Not just saying, I want change, but I want to stop looking at my situation the way it is and give it to God and trust him whatever his will might be. I'm going to ask you something. If you're one of those individuals that's struggling, if you're one of those individuals that, as I was sharing in the beginning here about issues that we struggle with, physical, emotional, relational, whatever they might be, dependency issues, and you're done settling, and you want to seek God's healing and his power, but you're willing to accept his will for your life, I'm going to ask you, stand up right now. Right where you're at, stand up. Jesus said to the lame man, take up your mat and walk. And it was within his divine will to heal that situation. And it may very well be within his divine will to heal your situation right now. Do you believe that he can do that? Do you believe that he can do that? And it may be within his divine will to leave things exactly the way they are, to display his glory and his power and his strength in your life. Are you willing to accept that as well? Yes. All right. Let me pray for you. Father, when we get on the subject of healing, it can make us a little uneasy at times. Lord, we step out of the boat. We walk on uncharted territory. Lord, we don't know what you will do with that step of faith. Lord, but we do know that the struggles that we have are real. We know that the physical and emotional and all of those issues that we struggle with day to day are real. And we would confess before you right now that sometimes we have decided to settle. Furthermore, we admit, Lord, that we make excuses. And we say, that's just the way it is. It's just the way I am. It's just the way it is. And yet, Lord, we believe that you have the power to heal. You have the power to change. You have the power to transform. And so, Lord, we come asking according to your will. Father God, if it's your will to heal, Lord, touch and bring glory to yourself. Father God, if it's your will to bring glory to yourself through the problem, Lord, we give you that permission. And we reach out for your strength and your divine comfort. Lord, we would look to you and we would ask that you would be glorified in whatever choice you make for us. As we choose this moment to trust you. And we do this together in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.